Hello and welcome to Truth Talk about life and leadership solutions, a place where I help leaders like you to navigate faith, family, and career in a way that brings peace and maximizes your impact. My name is Ijeoma Anyanwu. We are talking about distraction and its power. Not sin, not a moral failure, not a dramatic fall from grace, just distractions. That quiet thief, that slow drifting, that thing that doesn't look dangerous at first, but over time pulls you completely off course. Whether you lead a church, a business, a family, a team, this talk today will help you. Let me start by defining what we are really talking about. Because distraction for a leader is not just scrolling through social media for an hour or so. Distraction for you as a leader is anything that pulls your attention, your energy, and your focus away from the assignment that God has placed in your hands. That's it. That's a distraction. So think about it this way. A pilot's job is to fly the plane, right? Now imagine the pilot decides mid-flight to walk through the cabin and starts chatting with the passengers, checking the luggage, helping the flight attendant to serve drinks. Those are all good things, aren't they? But who's flying the plane? Exactly. That's what distraction does to a leader. You're still busy, still moving, still doing things that look productive, but the main thing, the only thing you were called to do in that season is sitting unattended to. And here's the part that should really make us wake up. You can be distracted and not even know it. In fact, the most dangerous distractions don't feel like distractions. They feel like urgency. They feel like responsibility. They feel like, I just need to deal with this right now. But not everything that is urgent is actually important. And not everything that is important actually feels urgent. So let's talk about what distraction looks like, because distraction has a couple of different phases. The first phase distraction carries is the noise of people's opinions. Now, this one gets many of us. Someone says something about you at home, in the family, or in the office, or maybe on social media, or maybe some people were discussing, and then the rumor gets back to you. And suddenly, instead of doing your work, you are spending mental energy thinking about what they said. You are rehearsing your response. You are checking to see if anyone else has heard it. You are calculating how it's affecting your reputation. And before you know what's happening, days have passed. You haven't written that book you're supposed to be working on. You haven't created what you were trying to work on. You haven't taught, you haven't really prayed because you are worrying and thinking, you haven't really led your people. You are too busy managing the noise. I've been there. There was a season in my life and ministry where I let what people were saying and even what they were not saying to take up a lot of space in my head. I didn't even realize it at the time. I mean, I thought I was just being human. So I was quietly reacting by giving room to negative emotions and trying whatever I could do to prove them wrong. But the truth is, I was distracted, plain and simple. The second phase that distraction carries is one that is subtle. So for example, someone hurts you or misunderstands you, or someone you have poured into decides to walk away prematurely. And In walking away, they begin to spread all kinds of negative stories about you to justify their decisions. Or someone takes credit for what you built, and now you are carrying the weight of that pain. You are nursing the wound. Offense is one of the enemy's favorite tools because it feels justified. You are not doing anything wrong, right? After all, they wronged you. But while you are holding on to your offense, your assignment is suffering. Your relationships are suffering because your potential is being reduced. Your attention is divided. The third phase that distraction carries is what I call the comparison trap. So we live in a world where everybody wants to be seen, where you see people's growth 24 hours of social media. You see what's happening. And then you start looking at those people. You see what they are building, how many members they have, how many followers, how many staff, the conferences they are attending, programs they are speaking at, the opportunities they are getting. Sometimes the support level that seems to be rising. And slowly, without realizing it, you drift into another lane. You want to be on their lane. Sometimes you start trying to do what they are doing instead of what you were called to do. And now you are chasing someone else's vision with your God-given gifts. And sometimes you even try to cook up something that looks like their gift to get their results. That's distraction in a very expensive costume. The fourth phase that distraction carries is what I call good things that are not necessarily God things. Now, this is one of the most sophisticated looks of distraction, because the enemy knows that he may never get you to commit that terrible sin. He knows that you won't go there. So instead, he starts to fill your calendar with good things, worthy things, applaudable things, things you genuinely care about. And then he crowds out the God things. Every invitation isn't an assignment. Every open door is not meant for you to walk through. Wisdom is knowing the difference. Wisdom is being discerning. Now, we live in a day and age in which everyone wants to be seen, want to be heard and celebrated. And that, my brother, my sister, can become the chains that distraction carry to hold you and I captive. So I remember a time when I was in the middle of an assignment. A friend and I were running a kids club right in our neighborhood. And then in the middle of this, I was having a discussion with another friend, a colleague, and I mentioned to her that there was this exam that I wanted to write. She encouraged me and told me, "Yes, you can do it. You are smart." I thought about the work I was doing with my friend, and I thought about this exam, but I quickly convinced myself that the exam was for the greater good, so I went for it. I excused myself from the kids club and spent the next couple of months giving attention to this exam that had absolutely nothing to do with what I was supposed to be doing in that season. I wrote the exams and I passed. Years later, I looked at what happened in that season. I looked at the impact that I could have made in the lives of those children if I had stayed on. I look at the personal growth that I would have received had I stayed on. You see, God wasn't harsh. In fact, I didn't even hear the Lord say anything. He didn't rebuke me. He was gracious. But over the years, I have learned time you spend distracted is time you may not get back. The lives you could have impacted do not keep waiting for you. They grow, they move on. So, how do we protect our focus as leaders? Number one, be clear about your primary assignment. You cannot guard something that you cannot define. If you are fuzzy about what you were called to do, everything around you will feel equally important. So be very clear. Write it down. Like the scripture says, write the vision down. Make it plain. What is the specific thing that the Lord has placed in your hand? When you know the lane you are supposed to be on, it's very easy, or it's a lot easier, to notice when you are drifting. Two, let Jesus be your model. I know we often say Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keeping our eyes on Jesus, but let's make it real. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see someone who was absolutely undistractable. I mean, just remember, when Jesus was on the cross, he was in agony. And the crowd, people were there mocking him. Come down if you are the Son of God. Now, if I were him, I probably would have. Because I would be like, they don't appreciate what I'm doing. So Jesus could have come down. The angels were on standby, but Jesus didn't. Why? Because he knew why he was there. He knew why his Father has sent him. And he knew that coming down from that cross maybe would have felt freeing, but it would have been the ultimate failure. So he stayed on, focused through that pain, through the insults, through the darkness. Jesus stayed on. Brother, sister, that's our standard. And it is not something we cannot do. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can. The third step, guard your heart. Destruction often starts in the mind before it shows in behavior. So protect your mind. Be intentional about what you consume. Be careful about how much time you are spending on social media, listening to other people's opinions, the news, the noise, because what goes in eventually comes out in your decisions, your emotions, and your direction. Number four, build accountability around you. Have people in your life who are allowed to ask you, are you still on assignment? Don't just surround your people with yes men. Don't surround yourself with cheerleaders and sycophants. Surround yourself with people who love you enough to tell you when you are drifting. And five, recognize the spiritual dimension. The calling is not just about productivity. It's also a warfare. Because behind a lot of those distractions is the enemy. And he's not random. He's watching you. He knows exactly what to dangle in front of you and in front of me to pull us off course. So when you recognize distraction as a spiritual attack, it helps you to stop just managing schedule and to become more spiritually alert. When Jesus stayed on that cross, when he refused to be distracted, 3 days later, he rose victorious and secure the victory for you and for me. That distraction from those people could have cost him the resurrection. Staying focused cost him pain in the short term, but produce glory in the long term. That's why you and I are here. Because Jesus was looking at the joy that was on the other side of the cross. When we stop spending energy managing the noise, creativity becomes like sprouts. When we set offense aside and stay on our assignment, the people you were meant to reach get reached. Let's remember that there are lives and destinies on the other side of our focus. There are people whose lives will be changed, whose chains will be broken, families who will be restored because you refuse to be distracted. Because every time you drift, it's never just about you. Your assignment always has someone's name on it. So stay focused. Don't do it because of reputation or to prove anything to anyone. Stay focused because your work matters. The people you are reaching, the children, the families, they matter. And one day, you will stand before the one who sent you. And just like Jesus, you'll be able to say, "Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do." That is the greatest reward, and it's worth every distraction that you refuse to take the bait on. Now, here's something I want you to do as we close today's talk. Take 60 seconds right now or after this time. Ask yourself honestly, what is that one thing I keep getting pulled towards that is not my primary assignment? Write it down. And then make a decision. I am not picking you up anymore until I've done the first thing I was called to do. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for guarding our hearts. Thank you for teaching us and instructing us in the way we ought to go. Father, these words have come out like a farmer who is sowing seeds this morning. Father, let these words, O God, find their place in good soil. Soil that will nurture them patiently so that they increase, become fruitful, and so that your purpose in our lives will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. If there's anyone watching me right now, Lord, who is distracted, Father, I ask that by reason of this talk, Holy Spirit, guide that person back on track. If there's one who is being tempted right now, just needs to make that decision, and he or she will be off course. Father, let these words be a light that will cause them, Lord, to refrain and to keep moving forward. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If this talk resonated with you, please share this with a leader in your life who needs to hear it. You don't know whose life you might be redirecting. I would also love to hear from you, so drop a comment down below. Follow me. I want to know how this talk is helping your life. If you need someone to stand by you, to encourage you on your journey, please visit my website at www.ijomamanyaun.com. Until my next one, stay focused, stay faithful, and stay on assignment, because God is faithful to complete what He has started in you. Bye-bye for now.